Joel 15. Let's read this. Then Eliphaz, the Temanite, responded, "Should a wise man answer with windy knowledge and fill himself with the east wind? Should he argue with useless talk or with words which are not profitable? Indeed, you do away with reverence and hinder mediation before God. For your guilt teaches your mouth, and you choose the language of the crafty. Your own mouth condemns you, and not I, and your own lips testify against you. Were you the first man to be born, or were you brought forth before the hills? Do you hear the secret counsel of God and limit your wisdom to yourself? What do you know that we do not know? What do you understand that we do not? Both the gray-haired and the aged are among us, older than your father. Are the consolations of God too small for you, even the words spoken gently with you? Why does your heart carry you away? And why do your eyes flash that you should turn your spirit against God and allow such words to go out of your mouth? What is man that he should be pure, or he who is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Behold, he puts no trust in his holy ones, and the heavens are not pure in his sight. How much less one who is detestable and corrupt, man who drinks iniquity like water? I will tell you, listen to me, and what I have seen, I will also declare. What wise men have told and have not concealed from their fathers, to whom alone the land was given, and no alien passed among them. The wicked man writhes in pain all his days, and numbered are the years stored up for the ruthless. Sounds of terror are in his ears, while at peace the destroyer comes upon him. He does not believe that he will return from darkness, and he is destined for the sword. He wanders about for food, saying, where is it? And knows that a day of darkness is at hand. Distress and anguish terrify him. They overpower him like a king all ready for the attack, because he has stretched out his hand against God and conducts himself arrogantly against the Almighty. He rushes headlong at him with his massive shield, for he has covered his face with his fat and made his thighs heavy with flesh. And he has lived in desolate cities and houses no one would inhabit, which are destined to become ruins. He will not become rich, nor will his wealth endure, and his grain will not bend down to the ground. He will not escape from darkness. The flame will wither his shoots, and by the breath of his mouth he will go away. Let him not trust in emptiness, deceiving himself, for emptiness will be his reward. It will be accomplished before his time, and his palm branch will not be green. He will drop off his unripe grape like the vine, and will cast off his flower like the olive tree. For the company of the godless is barren, and fire consumes the tents of the corrupt. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity, and their mind prepares deception. Amen. Amen. Sorry for that little confusion. I got a new mic, and so I just didn't know how to use it properly. But let's go over chapter 15 again. Now, this is the beginning of the second round. Remember, three friends? And so this is going to be the second round of the three friends and their arguments with one another. And so we can see that there's going to be actually, can you guys hear me okay? I looked at the chat a little bit. And so hopefully it's all okay now. Okay, good. And so this is second round. So his friend is coming back through this, that the language will become more heated. You can imagine you're talking to your friend, and you're confronting them with something. The first time you come really nice, gentle, doesn't work. So next, and third time even more so. And so you can get kind of the idea of what's going on here. Sorry, it says my internet's cutting out a little bit. You guys okay? Okay. So let's continue on here. And so we see Eliphaz is coming on hard, and he says something. So I'm just going to pick up, let's understand. The first part is in verse 4. And it says, indeed, you do away with reverence and hinder mediation before God. And so he's talking about here his prayers. And he's saying that that your prayers are kind of a waste. You've lost reverence for the Lord in these ways, and because of this, your prayers are being hindered before the Lord, hindered mediation before God. And so I found this commentary by Spurgeon, which I thought was quite helpful, and he lists off these things that are hindrances in our prayer life, and I thought it'd kind of be good for us to go through this real quick. He talks, obviously, Eliphaz is wrong in his judgment of Job, because, you know, Eliphaz could not see Job's private prayer life, his secret life in God, but he was a man of piety and a man of prayer, like Job 1 tells us to. But he says there are some ways, Spurgeon says, there are some ways that our prayers are hindered in this way. And so he lists a few of them off. And again, I thought this was quite a good commentary about prayer life. And the first thing he says is that sometimes our prayers are restrained before God because we don't pray often or we don't pray regularly. And because we don't have a devotional life, we don't have a consistent life before God. Yeah, Spurgeon says our prayers can be hindered because we don't pray often and we don't pray regularly. And so it's a good idea for us to have a regular prayer time before the Lord. He continues on to say here, and he says also our prayers are restrained before the Lord because we don't prepare our hearts to pray. We don't prepare properly before God. We don't consider who we're praying to, and the way our prayer should be made. That we are sinners, and what we should ask of God, and should be thankful for what God has done in the past. In other words, we become too familiar with the Lord. You know, we have you know, we have prayer time as a family, and we have to kind of get on our kids' case this week. Because, you know, we're having this prayer time and, you know, they're lying down on the floor. They they're not really taking the posture that we would like for them to have. And we had to teach them. It says, hey, you know, we got to give our best to the Lord, even when we're, you know, just offering a simple prayer time in our evening devotion, you know, or something like that. And these are lessons that we should constantly teach our kids and that we need to learn ourselves, you know, that we're, you know, we're not, praying in properly, you know, like you know, in places that we ought not to be praying at, you know, like while you're sitting on the toilet or something, or you know, I mean, just having a proper posture, and part of that is that we need to prepare our hearts to pray before God because He's a holy God. I think we're way too familiar when it comes to the Lord. And then Spurgeon also says that our prayers are restrained before the Lord because we pray such formal, strict prayers, and that we never really pour out our heart before God. And so, you know, in other words, our prayers are very mechanical. There's no heart content, no heart intent, and some passion and some. You know, I mean, a real pathos and desperation in our prayers. And he says, and so sometimes our prayers are restrained because of those things. And then lastly, Spurgeon says that some of our prayers are restrained before God because we pray with such little faith and with so much unbelief. And because we're not offering up prayers of faith, they are restrained before the Lord. And I thought this was such a great commentary, you know, as Eliphaz is talking to Job about his restrained prayer life. And so let me just repeat these really quickly. You know, we don't, according to Spurgeon, our prayers are restrained before the Lord because we don't pray often enough and we don't pray regularly before the Lord. Number three, we pray such formal, strict manner that we really don't pour out our hearts before God. Faith, we pray with so much unbelief, and these things are the things that can really restrain our prayers before God. And I thought that was such a good devotion. But let's continue on. And so Eliphaz is basically telling Job, listen, you are condemning yourself every time you speak. So just cut it out, okay? You know, you just need to be humble. You need to be repentant. Even though Job is all these things, but his friends don't really believe him because they're basically base everything on tradition, which we'll get into later on. And then in verse 7, going down, it says, are you the first man who was born? Were you brought forth before the hills? Notice, this is actually the same argument that God uses at the end of Job, particularly chapter 38 and 39. Same argument that God says, were you there when I created the earth? You know, were you there? And obviously, Job can say no. They both, God and Eliphaz, both appeal to Job in this way to consider that he did not know as much as he thought he did, which is true. But in this case, yet Eliphaz thought Job or thought Job didn't know was entirely different from what God knew Job didn't know. And so this is two different things. When Eliphaz uses argument, it fails. But when God uses it, it succeeds. And when we get to 38, I'll talk a little bit more about this. And then verse 11, and I think many of us can relate to this, especially when you're having people share their advice. In verse 11, it says, are the consolations of God too small for you, even the words spoken gently with you? And notice now, okay, now Eliphaz and his friends are making a crucial error here, because they're considering their words, in their own way, their gentle words to Job as actually God's words. That's not true. That's their advice. It's not the words of God. It's not the consolations of God. And so now they're making a grave mistake by equating their advice to God's advice. And I think a lot of people that counsel people, that share, that often share wisdom in these things, that they oftentimes also make this mistake. You know, God's advice is God's advice. God's word is God's words. Our advice is our advice. And the only way that those things come together is when our advice is the word of God. And so, you gotta be very, very careful of this. And these guys make that huge mistake of equating their own advice or their own words to be God's words. And I think when, like I said, when you're receiving counsel, because that's what people get mad when you don't take their advice, because to them it's as gospel. But that's the wrong attitude to take. It's not the way. And you'll see that Eliphaz gets rebuked because of this. And then verse 17, going to this idea of tradition, he says, I will tell you, listen to me, and what I've seen, I will also declare. And what wise men have told, am not concealed from their fathers, to whom alone the land was given, and no alien pass among them. And so he's going back to really their whole basis of their argument, which is tradition. And tradition in this way, he says, listen, all the wise people know and understand this. And these guys are the ones that kept Israel safe. They all know very well what this means. And he's dealing with this issue of the cause and effect of wickedness and then judgment. This is the main issue that his friends just can't get over. And this is the tradition. This is what they've grown up with. This is the primary logic of their day, that if you're having so much trouble, there's wickedness in your heart. If there's things happening in your life that are really bad, then it's because you have some sin in your heart. And in Job's case, because what he's enduring is so bad, that their whole idea is you must have a lot of wickedness in your heart. Like, you must be like the best sinner in the world. And so, Job, get it straight. Get out of this mess, you know, and so on and so forth. And so they come with this idea. They say later on, a wicked man rides in his pain. And that's the idea. That's what's going to happen. You're wicked. Like, you have sin in your heart. You have secret sin in your heart. Guess what? There's going to be pain. There's going to be calamity. There's going to be trial. There's going to be all these things. All these things that Job is experiencing right now, is as a result of this, a result of your sin, Job. But we know that that's not true. We know that there's another case behind this, and that really forms the whole basis of these arguments that are going forth. And then Eliphaz, you know, because he's a smart guy too. He knows, well, because then, you know, you could imagine him having this conversation in his mind. Job's asking, well, how about those that are sinners, that are wealthy, that are doing well? And he recognizes, yes, the wicked do prosper, but not for long. You know, particularly verse 29, and he will not become rich, nor will his wealth endure. You know, yeah, they may prosper for a season, but not for long. Eventually, it'll catch up with them. And then that's the idea that Eliphaz is trying to lay out before him. And so, great passage, wonderful scripture. But as a point of devotion today, and as a prayer focus, let's go back to Spurgeon's advice to us. And this is good advice. This is not like Eliphaz's advice. About how our prayers could be thwarted or tainted or restrained because we don't pray often or regularly, because we don't prepare our hearts to pray. We don't consider who we're praying to, this holy God, and we become too familiar with the Lord. Our prayers are restrained because we pray formal, strict prayers without heart, without desperation. And also we pray with very little faith and with so much unbelief. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you today about your prayer life. Is Spurgeon's advice, could that be said about your prayer life? Do we just pray empty prayers? Do we pray prayers that are just very rote? Even we're about to pray soon, you know, people that have cancer. Are we just praying just emotionless? And, you know, are we really praying with heart content? And God, heal them. Lord, please, you know, by your goodness, would you touch them and minister to them? Are we praying often enough? Are we preparing our hearts to pray? Do we know who we're praying to, this holy, amazing God? Are we praying with faith? Faith that can, just a little bit, like a mustard seed, can move a mountain. And so let's go before the Lord. And as a worship team member just leads us in a song, let's meditate on that. Let's meditate on the effectiveness of our prayer life. Let's pray.
Draw me close to you, never let me go. Lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. Cause you are my desire. No one else will do. Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Melt the way, bring me back to you. You're all I need. be close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. What else will you do? There's nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you.
Thank you, Cardia. Let's go to our prayers and let's just pray. Let's just spend a moment and let's just meditate on our prayer life again. Let's go before the Lord. Do we lack consistency? Is it rote? Is it just mechanical without much heart, much devotion and dependency upon the Lord? Or do we not prepare our hearts before the Lord? Or do we pray with very little faith? Let's just really go before the Lord and let's ask Him to speak to us about our prayer life right now. Let's pray. Let's go to our community. Yeah, prayer focus, and let's pray for our friends and family that are about. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray that God would really touch them, and just really empower, especially the ones that put their prayer requests up. That God would really empower their prayers. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but not cancer-related. And let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision during this season. Let's pray for Hong Kong today. Let's lift up our city. Let's pray COVID cases would continue to go down and people in hospitals would be healed. Let's pray over our government. Let's pray that they would walk in wisdom, that the appointed leaders would really work in righteousness. Let's pray against the wealth gap in our city. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for the churches all throughout. Pray for our friends ministering here, Sports Services International, Shanti, YWAM, Tun Moon, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean church. Pray for students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up our city. Let's lift up our staff. Let's pray our staff would be healthy. Our staff would be on fire for God, that we'd walk in unity, that these are the sons and daughters that are coming together to serve His house. And so let's just pray. Let's lift up the family members right? And a number of them, our kids are started school. Let's just pray for patience, you know, as we help our kids through this transition time. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our hospitality ministry. I know there's not much going on right now, but let's pray for welcoming barista. Let's pray for our leaders that they're still connecting with their members. They're getting ready to serve, that when we come back together, that they'll be flying into action. And pray that this would be a good time for training and those things to take place, that we'd have the best welcoming team, the best barista team. And so let's just pray for this downtime. Let's pray for the worship, sound, and AV teams. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead us, especially as we're doing a live stream right now. Let's really especially pray for the AV team. You guys may not know this, but we had another hiccup this past Sunday morning just before 10 o'clock. And so let's just pray all of our equipment will work well. Pray for Holy Spirit to really lead Ken as he's manning the audio visual. Let's also pray today, actually this morning, we're installing new speakers in the sanctuary for better sound experience. Let's just pray that everything would work well, be seamless. And so let's just cover all that today. And let's pray for the only one gathering tonight, EG, Experiencing God class is going on tonight. Let's just pray for Holy Spirit to really encounter each of the participants, that we really experience God. And especially tonight, as we focus on hearing God's voice, that God would really speak to us, that we would hear and we minister to each other powerfully. Let's pray. Pray over. Let's pray together. Let's close our time. Father, thank you, God. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord. I pray that we would each have effective prayer lives, God. That we really seek after you, Lord, and we pray with desperation, with heart content. We prepare ourselves, God. We pray often and regularly, God, and we would pray in faith, Lord. Lead us, God. Help us peers, Lord, to be men and women of prayer, God. We thank you. Watch over us today. Watch over our city, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.